Good morning, everyone. So welcome out to Murfreesboro Church. Glad to have our visitors with us today. Members, everyone here. Grab a redback hymnal. Turn over to page 333. We'll sing the old song, I'll Fly Away. All three verses. Good singing this morning. We're going to turn back a few pages to 329. Standing on the Promises. We'll sing 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Brad. Thankful for our piano player today. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one here today. I hope you've been blessed already this morning. I've already been blessed today. And I just want to thank everybody for being here today. And we're glad to have our visitors with us. We got a good crowd of people for a Monday morning service. And we just want everybody to follow the Lord in this service. Now, I'm going to start off a little bit different this morning. It's been requested that I open up the doors of the church. I want to give an opportunity for members here this morning. And because of that, I'm going to start it out real quick right here is what I'm going to do. And because I want to give everybody a chance to do what the Lord wants them to do. And like I said, this was requested this morning to give an opportunity for members. The way we take members here at Murfreesboro Church is we take members by experience and baptism. And for those that might not be familiar with our church, I want to give you a pretty good rundown of what we do. We believe in taking people by experience and baptism, and that experience means that they already have an experience of salvation. We want to hear that experience is what we want to do. And because of that, we asked you to tell your testimony. That's what John the Baptist did. I believe that's what Jesus would have done. We don't have a recollection of that in the scriptures of what he did in that. But we understand that that's what God wanted them to do. So by John doing that. And so he asked them to give fruits meet for repentance. And that was what he was asking for, was that experience. So when you come before this church, we're going to ask you about your salvation, first of all. And if you're coming by baptism, we'll set a time at a later time for your baptism. We want to make sure your family is here to see this great experience that you're fixing to have. Because you're joining the Lord's church. You're committing to this church is what you're doing. We got others coming in. We want them to be a part of this too. But we want them to see that you're committing unto this church, unto God, to be a part of his church, and you're going to work and serve this church is what you're going to do. And so with that, we want you to keep that in mind. But also, I want you to realize today, we take members by a letter or credit letter. If you're a member of a church of like faith and order as we are, an old-fashioned missionary Baptist church that preaches and practices like we do, we want to invite you to come and be a member of this church if that's what the Lord is leading you to do. If you have your letter, we'll read it. If you don't have your letter, we will send for it. Now, we do reserve the opportunity as the church here at Murfreesboro to investigate your church to make sure that you're the same, but we will act appropriately on you today is what we'll do. We also take members by restoration. If there is a case in which there is a member that has gotten out of line is what I'll call it, and the church had to deal with you and you're no longer upon the books because of that act, you was excluded from this body, and you wish to come back to this church to be reinstated to this church, you would come forth, make your acknowledgments of the sin that you had done, and you would be restored as the church would see appropriately what you said. Basically, what you're going to do is make your apologies to the church. You know, it's good for us to make that statement sometimes. If we've done wrong, and we know when we do wrong, and the church has to act upon you, now, unfortunately, it doesn't happen like it ought to from time to time because we as grown-ups, we knew when we raised our children, we had to have discipline on them. But it's also, it's for us when to remember that when we stepped out of line, our parents took care of us, didn't they? And this church, that's what it's about. We're supposed to take care of our church members. We're all, as Brother Luke preached last night, that we are to come together and that we are to be a chosen vessel for him, and we're to clean that vessel up from time to time. And sometimes that takes us as church members talking to our sister and brother and sister church members to let them know where they're wrong. And if we'll act right before God, we'll come back to the church and we'll make our acknowledgments when we've done wrong, even if the church hasn't done anything. You see, that's what we're supposed to be doing, isn't it? We're supposed to be making ourselves a vessel unto honor, is what we're supposed to do, as a church even. So today we are given an opportunity for people to join this church. If you're here today and the Lord is leading you to join this church, and I believe in that Lord's leadership, if the Lord is leading you to join yourself to this body today, while we sing this song, Brother Brad, come forward. Come up here, let your desires to be known to the church, whether it be by baptism or by letter, a credit letter, or by restoration, the church will act appropriately on you. So, Brother Brad, if you will, sing us a song. And if you wish to be a member of this church today, come forward and the church will act upon you.
Won't you stand and sing with us? 376 at the bottom of the page.
Thank you, Brother Brad. We have one that has presented himself for membership here at this church. He'll be coming by experience and baptism. And Clay was actually the one that made the request this morning for him to join the church. And so, Clay, as I said, we want to hear your testimony. And you've done told me about it and some others. But the church needs to hear it. Everybody needs to hear it. So I'll give it over to you now. Bless. Your heart. Bless you, Clay. Now, you've heard his experience. What's the will of the church on this matter?
Second.
Motion made that we receive him according to the rules of the church. In other words, he'll be granted all rights and privileges when baptized, is what it'll be. Now, any discussion upon this motion? So all in favor of this motion, the members of Murfreesboro Church, let it be known by uplifted hand. All opposed, like sign. Motion has passed. Now that makes two we've had to join the last 2 days. Thank the Lord for that. But what we did yesterday is we extended the right hand of church, of Christian fellowship to him. At his baptism, we'll extend to him the right hand of church fellowship. Now, I did say yesterday, if anybody, because of COVID, if you're not comfortable, don't worry about it. You don't have to come forward. But if you would like to come up to Clay and extend the right hand of Christian fellowship at this time, we're going to give you that opportunity. Brother Brad, if you can. Did I catch you flat-footed that time? Bless you. Good to have you. Everybody would like to extend to him the right hand of Christian fellowship. Let it be known at this time.
Page 264.
Amen. It's good to watch people follow the Lord. And I especially like to see people follow the Lord in baptism as the Lord, as the Bible tells us to do. It doesn't save, but it does mean a commitment that we are making towards the Lord and to His church. And that's something that we need to take very seriously. Back a few months ago, I was roaming around in the office in there one day when I was there, and I found the new members packet, and I read over that. Wasn't nothing new to me in there, but it was something that I thought was very good for the church to give to our new members. And it tells what we believe. Most people would know. But then again, you have those times when some people say, well, I didn't realize we believe that. I didn't realize this church believed that. But it's good for us to have that. And you'll be getting one of those, Clay. And the main thing that I want to encourage Clay to do is to fall in with this church. Just come right alongside us and go to work for the Lord. He was telling me earlier, I've talked to him a little bit when he's been here at other Sundays. And before he told about being saved, he said, I helped, I think it was in a vacation Bible school back a long time ago, or a few years ago. And he was talking about it, and he was telling me about this. I thought, he ain't talked to me this much the entire time altogether. I'm proud of you. Because I want you to feel at home here. This is your home. And it's your responsibility too. Just like you have a room at home, and it's your responsibility to keep it in shape, you watch us is what you have to do. And we're going to tell you the best thing you can do is get into your Bible. You study with us. You listen to us every chance you can have just to be able to learn about God, learn about the church, learn everything you can, because God's got a reason for you. He's got a reason for you being a member of this church. And you've got friends, you got loved ones that you can reach that I can't talk to. Miss Cheryl can't talk to them, but you can reach them. And so I want to encourage you just to follow the Lord is what I want you to do. Well, enough of that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again today. I hope you've enjoyed this blessing. I have. Now, we're going to turn the service over here in a little bit unto the Lord. But unto Brother Luke's what I meant to say as far as preaching, if that's the Lord's will. Because, Sister Cheryl. Lord help you. Amen. Mm-hmm. 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 Amen. Lord bless. Amen. Amen. Lord bless. Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Mm-hmm. Sure will. Bless your heart. Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Enjoyed this testimony. Let's keep on our hearts, her grandson for one. Let's add him to our prayer list. But let's keep in mind these others that she's talking about. She didn't mention them by name. I've got a good idea who some of them are because it's some of mine. But let's pray that these that we have on our hearts get saved. Let's pray they get in trouble today, okay? Anybody else got something on your heart? Bless your heart. Mm-hmm. Lord bless. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Say, thank you, Sister Rose. Appreciate this. Somebody else got something on your heart. Remember, the Lord's in charge of this service, not me, not anybody else. The Lord's in charge of it. Somebody else? As I said, if Lord will, we're going to turn it over to Brother Luke in here in a little bit. So we want to follow what God says. And if he, go ahead. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Lord bless.
I was under conviction for 3 days. As David said, the pain of hell.
Lord bless you.
I got such a shame. I prayed the Lord to send me on the hill because it can't be a bad one.
Praise God. Amen. That's true.
But Thursday at work, I realized that I was going to hell and I deserved it.
Lord bless you.
It's so good.
Amen. Me too. Lord bless you.
I've had the privilege this year to see we've gone to several different revivals.
Bless. Amen. Amen. He is. Bless you, Lord. Bless your heart, brother. Good to have y'all today. Amen. Somebody else got a word. Somebody else got a word. Appreciate everybody thus far doing what the Lord has laid on your heart. Now, I had a lady outside last night after church. She said, I'm going to take a whipping tonight. I said, you are? She said, yeah, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I said, what was you supposed to done? I got nosy. I've been doing that here lately. I got nosy. I said, what was you supposed to done? What I was trying to do was make it a little harder on her. But we need that sometimes, just to let ourselves know when we're supposed to do something. I'm all for you doing it, is what I'm saying. And she said, I was supposed to go speak to one of those lost ones, and I didn't do it. I said, well, I hope the Lord makes it good and rough on you where you won't do it again. But so if you're like her, I pray that you'll follow the Lord today. As I think I related this story, I went to a church, a man I met a few years ago. He went to visit a church way up in Kentucky, he said. And he said when we got there, he said people were in their overalls standing around. He said we come in our coats and ties. And he said we decided to leave our coats in the car, just kind of blend in a little bit. But he said when we was there, a little bit, he said, we went up, shook hands, talked with some of the people, and he said, it got church time, we started to go in, and he said, the pastor stopped us. He called us over the side, and he said, now, brethren, don't you do anything that will harm this church, this service. Kind of sounds like a strong statement, doesn't it? And what he said was, he said, if the Lord lays something on your heart, you do it. He said, we want you to follow the Lord. See, a lot of times we forget that when we fail the Lord, the Lord's got a purpose in it. And so that's my saying right now for us for the week, for us to keep it in mind that we should follow the Lord, because it may harm the service. It might not be for the one that's lost so much. It might be the one, as Brother Luke said last night, when the Spirit of the Lord comes in, he talked about how that David talked about his cup runneth over. And we talk about that a lot of times in our services. When the Spirit really comes into a service and people's cups gets filled up, their souls get filled up, and it comes out on everybody else, it causes others, it runs over into their cups, doesn't it? It starts filling them up. And if we can get four or five people filled up, my goodness, how blessed that could be. Because then there'd be some more cups getting filled up. You got something you need to do? Bless your heart. Go ahead.
God woke me up with a song this morning, a song I've never sung. I've heard it a time or two, but I haven't stopped singing it since I got up, and I knew I was going to have to sing it at some time, and that's now. It's an old song. It's on page 362 of your books. If you just give me that pitch, let's see. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. This song is for the saved people, I believe. Last night I felt moved to ask Chad Metter if he's been saved. I assume he's about 40 years old, and he said, I don't know if I'm lost. I asked him, I said, have you ever been lost? And he said, yes. We need to pray so hard for people like him. If we were nearer to God, I don't believe that people could walk out of here without the Lord. I love this song. This is a good prayer for all of us. I'm going to try to sing some more of it. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
That should be a prayer request of all
to be nearer to the Lord. I think a lot of people think that it just comes naturally to a saved person. They think, well, once I got saved, I'm going to be near to the Lord, but it's not that way. Every one of us that's been around the Lord's work knows there's times when you get down. But if you work at getting close to Him, you can get really close to Him. But if you take it for granted, guess what? You'll slip away. A lot of our people don't like to talk about backsliding. They think it means you lose it. But backsliding only talks about sliding back a little ways from the Lord. Sometimes a lot of the way. But you never get off of the beaten path. You can't get off of it completely. But you can sure slide back a long ways from the Lord. Somebody else got something on your heart. Go ahead, Brother Dean. Bless your heart, Brother Dean. Lord bless you. I understand that. Appreciate this. Somebody else. Amen. Your heart. Lord bless. Amen. Yes, sir. You sure will. Sure did. That's right. Bless your heart. Good to have you today. Thank you for coming. Somebody else? Somebody else? It's been good to be in the house of the Lord so far. Notice I said so far. We still got service to the Lord today. We got worship to the Lord to do. We've done a little bit of worship. Now it's time for us to go further. Let's keep in mind these that are unsaved in our group. I look around and you know, last night I think I counted about 8 or 10 different ones that was lost here last night that I knew of that was at that age or had said sometime that they were lost. Now that's a lot of work right there. We haven't got that many tonight. Or today, excuse me, but we still got a lot of work to do. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody have a prayer request to add to this service thus far? Go ahead.
I got a brother and father.
Lord help. Lord help. Lord help. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. Yeah, let's remember the Bronner family. They've got that funeral this afternoon, I assume. So let's do remember them in our prayers. Somebody else? If not, remember Brother Luke, as he'll be bringing the message today. We'll call on one to lead our prayer, but as I say so many times, pray in your own way, whether that's out loud or quietly. If you want to come up to this altar and pray, that's a good place to pray. If you don't want to and you want to sit in your seat, that's fine. I'm not going to call for just what we'll say, an altar prayer, but anytime you want to hit this altar and pray, and that's saved or sinner alike, it's a good place to pray. So if you want to come up here, come right ahead. But like I said, we're going to call on one. I'm glad to have some friends of ours from Smith County today. Brother Gerald is a member at Brother Luke's church, and we're glad to have him with us. Glad to have Brother Terry Ray, a preacher from our area. Brother Jack Cart, we're glad to have them. They all made the trip. Some more members from Caney Fork. I'm going to get in trouble here in a minute by leaving somebody else. But let's all come together with a heart of prayer tonight. Today, and let's ask the Lord especially to save the lost that's in our midst today. Wouldn't it be good if everyone that was lost in our midst today got saved here today? Wouldn't that be good? Let's ask the Lord to do it. Brother Jack, I feel like I need to ask you to start this prayer.
Turn over to page 133. 133.
Good morning. It's been good being in the Lord's house today and to see the Lord working in our midst and to feel His presence. And I want to encourage you, don't stop following the Lord. I totally believe in following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and however the Lord leads and directs the service is how it should go. And if we all do that, it'll be right. And anything else on your heart before we go into the message today? Anything at all on your heart? I'm blessed to see the amount of children that we have here today. And if I can, I'd like to ask them to come up and to help me sing a song. I think they all probably know it, the ones that want to. They don't have to. But if they want to help me sing a song, there's a thought that's been on my heart since last night. Well, I'll come down here with y'all. How about that? And anybody that wants to come and help sing, we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. So if you know that one, then you can come help us sing it. All right, now y'all got to drown me out, okay? And sing louder than I do. You ready? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Thank you all. Good job. Good job. They did really good coming up there and helping me out, and I appreciate that. And today, that's a thought that's been on my heart, is let it shine. And I want to turn and read, if you want to follow along, and where that comes from in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And I appreciate this young man coming forth. You know what he was doing? He was letting his light shine. And others that have testified of the goodness and grace of God, letting their light shine. And as we began to sing that song, and I thought about that last verse. If the Lord come back now, what an awesome privilege it is to just be letting our light shine. And when the Lord comes back, because that's what we want to do, is just let it shine as much as we possibly can. Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the 14th verse says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know that light, without light, none of us could be able to even see right now. God, that's the first thing when He created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. And there was. He's the one that has created that light. But did you know that light, it exists by itself? That, it's an amazing phenomenon that God has created in order for us to be able to see. He gave us the sun and the moon, which the moon actually doesn't even have a light of itself, but it reflects off of the light of the sun. And you know, that's the kind of light what he was talking about, saying that ye are the light of the world. We don't have light within ourselves, but there's a light, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's the one that lights us up. We're just like the moon. We're a reflection of him and the light that he shines for the world through his gospel message, that they might see and hear and know and be able to distinguish the right way to go, because otherwise they're in darkness. But with the light of Jesus, we can see the way we need to go through his word. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today, is that light. Now, Luke gives us a better description and even a better example, as he tells us in Luke, the 11th chapter. And I, again, would desire your prayers today. Please pray for me that God would receive the honor and glory in this message, would be exactly what God would have for each and every one of us today. Luke chapter 11 in the 33rd verse says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel. He says, when you have a candle that's lit, that's using to light a room. They didn't have lights like we have today. They had candles to be able to see in a dark room. And when you lit that candle, you didn't go hide it in a corner or somewhere and cover it up with something so that you couldn't see the light. But you lit it and you put it in the most central place of the room on a candlestick so that it could shine to the whole house. And that's what he's saying. When I've lit your heart, I want you to go to the central place, which is the Lord's church, and that's where you need to light your candle at, is at the candlestick, which is a representation of the church, so that all the world can see, not you, but the light of Jesus, that they might see him. He says, you don't put it under a bushel and hide it, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. Have any of you ever tried to look with your eyes to two different directions? Say, I want to look at this window, I want to look at that window at the same time. I can't do it. I can see out of my peripheral vision both of those when I look straight forward, but in order to see something clearly, you have to focus in on it and look directly at that, and it needs to be your central attention in order to understand and visibly see what you need to see. And if you want to know Jesus, you're going to have to be completely focused on him and nothing else. Everything else has to go away. He said, listen, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, if it's single and centralized and focused on the right things, he said, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, if your mind, if your heart, if your desire, you see, he's talking about the eye. He's talking about, you ever heard the saying, I've got my eye on that? A lot of times, young men and women, they get their eye on someone. I had my eye on a beautiful woman, my wife, a few years ago, and I'm thankful that she married me, but I had my eye on her. I couldn't take my eyes off her. That was all my attention. It was completely focused on her, and I still do even today, because she's my bride. She's my love. But what he's saying is, when you have your eye on something, that's what you desire. That's what your heart desires. That's what you want more than anything. And I remember, and I told this, I think, even last night, when I desired to be saved, mine eyes were on the Lord. They were on Him. They were on seeking Him for the salvation of my soul. And if you want to be saved today, if you don't have that experience that this young man came up and told about, then you need to just let everything else go aside. And your eye needs to be completely, your heart needs to be completely centralized on the Lord Jesus and on Him saving your soul. Because without Him, there is no salvation. It's only through and by Him. Listen, he says, your whole body is full of light if your eye is singled upon light. Who is light? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Even God's people, sometimes we get our hearts and minds on things that are not of the things of God, and our eyes get focused on things that are not the things of the Lord, and it begins to completely consume our bodies. And it feels more like darkness than light because we're not where we need to be. He says, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. If we get our hearts focused on what we need to, we'll be lit up by the Lord. We'll be lit up. And I want to encourage even these young children that they're going to need the light of Jesus Christ in order to shine. It's wonderful to have them and to encourage them to sing about this little light of mine. But you know, when they become lost and separated from God, they will be in darkness. Did you notice something that the young man said in his testimony? He said, I saw the light. And that's the way that it is when we are lost. I remember how it was for me. I was in complete and total and outer darkness. And a child that's 7 years old, that's how it feels. And that's exactly what it is. You're in darkness. And what do you have in darkness? You can't see the right way to go. You just have to feel your way around trying to figure out a blind person. They don't know exactly which way to go. They just have to feel the direction that they're going. And that's exactly the way that it is. If you're lost and separated from God, you just have to feel after God. The Apostle Paul said that. He said, if you'll feel after the Lord, I can tell you He's not far away from any one of us. He's near us. I can feel Him in my spirit. I can know that He's here and He's alive and He's well and He's mighty and ready to save. But you've got to be feeling after Him. You're in darkness now. But you know what? Jesus is a light that has come to light every person that comes into this world. That's what the Word of God says. John, in the first chapter, it tells us that. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized because it's talking of our Lord and Savior Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love that God uses the word Word to describe His Son, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the message of Jesus, and it gives life. When you trust in the message of Jesus and His saving grace, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So if you hear the message of Jesus Christ today, that He came and died for your sins, that He was crucified on a cruel cross, and He paid for your sin debt, and you believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart, in the message that God has sent to you, God will grant you the ability to be saved. How awesome that is, that through the Word, and it's not dead words, it is the living Word of God, and it is still sharper and more powerful than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts today. The Word of God, it works. That's why we preach the gospel. It's through the foolishness of preaching that these sinners might be saved, that God would take someone so wretched and vile as me to use me to share the gospel with you. The Word, it works. He works in our hearts and in our lives. Psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." His word will guide you all the way home if you look to the Lord. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness." Today, that's what we that are the children of God are trying the best of our ability to do, is just to hold our little light up and let all the world know that I've been saved by God's marvelous grace. Don't you want to be saved too? And that's all we can do. That's all that God can allow us to do. But when we do that, we're shining in darkness. Have you ever been in such a dark place, such a scary dark place, and then when the light comes on, everything gets clear and it's okay? That's the way it is when God deals with your heart and you're lost and separated from God on your way to a devil's hell. You don't know the right way to go, but when Jesus, the light, comes on the scene, everything becomes clear. And you know what you need to do? You need to look to Him, and you need to grab hold of the light, which is Jesus, and trust in Him with all your heart. And He'll make things clear for you. I pray for these that are confused, because that's a bad, bad place to be in. But you know what? Jesus said the light can shine in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Capitalized again, talking of Jesus, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man or every person that cometh into the world. What that tells me is anybody and everybody has a chance and an opportunity to be saved. Amen. Every person does. It's a whosoever will gospel. Anybody. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you think you are. If you are lost, Jesus died so that you can be saved. Every person. He said He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. That's how I got saved, is the Lord let me know that I was saved. He gave me that experience of salvation when He shined His glorious gospel into my heart. Today, that's what we that are the church of the living God have been called to do, is let the light shine out in darkness. And did you know that it was even our ministry? I don't know why we think we get so grown up that we can't sing "This Little Light of Mine" anymore. How we think we're just, well, that was just a song for kids, and they just, that's what they need to do, is they need to let their light shine. I pray that these little children would teach the children of God a lesson that it's our responsibility to shine our lights to them, that they might know the right way to go. And did you know that it's our ministry that has been given to us? What we've been asked to do. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," he says, "as we have not received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." That means to them that don't know the way to go. When Jesus sent Philip there there to the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, "How can I understand unless some man show me?" And you know what Philip did? He took his light out of that bushel and he let her shine. And he told that eunuch about Jesus Christ. And he shared with him the glorious gospel of Christ. And that man got saved that day. And he went on his way rejoicing for what God had done for him. Why? Because Philip let it shine. He let it shine. He went out. And sometimes it's in a place where we don't want to be. Maybe it's at our works. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's at church and we're embarrassed. And we think, why do we need to do this? When God impresses upon our heart, we need to let it shine. All the time we need to let it shine out for what God has done for us. He says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Who is the God of this world? It's Satan, and he is doing all he can to blind everyone's minds and their hearts so that they cannot see Jesus. But you know what? When we send the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a burning and a shining light. I love reading the Old Testament and the New Testament because they all point to Jesus. He said the people who sat in darkness had seen a great light. And you know who that great light was? It was Jesus Christ. He came to shed light on all of those old sacrifices, all of those rituals that they had done, all the lambs that were slain. There came a lamb, and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which has come to take away the sin of the world." He's the light. The people that sat in darkness has seen a great light, and he truly is even today. But Satan is blinding the minds of them that don't believe. The reason that you are still lost is because of unbelief, because you have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. You know what you need to do? You need to come to the light. Come to the light where Jesus is. He says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded," it's his commandment, it says, "the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." What does a light do? It gives understanding. It helps you to be able to understand. A lot of people can't figure God out, and it's because they're trying to figure him out up here. You see, you're not going to figure God out. His ways are higher than your ways, and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and you cannot figure God out. He created you. He created the world and everything that is around you. And unless you come to God realizing what he is and trusting in him and having faith in him that he can reveal himself to you and show you what you are and he can save your soul, you will not be saved. You must have faith. He's going to take over and take care of it. Because without faith, you won't please him. You won't get where you need to be. But listen what he says. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's his commandment that the light would shine out so that we can all hear and know who Jesus is and know him personally for ourselves. He came to his own and his own received him not. Why? Why do people still lie in darkness today? Yes, part of the problem is Satan has them blinded by sin and by the wickedness and the things of this world, and they are enticed to sin, and they're enticed by the lust of the flesh and the things of this world that they desire, and those things consume them. Why? Because their eye is singled upon everything else in the world instead of focused on God. Their heart's desire is everywhere else. else, Jesus said later on in Matthew in that fifth chapter, he said, you know, you can't serve two masters, for you'll hate the one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve yourself and serve God. It doesn't work that way. If you want to be born again, if you want to go to heaven, it's either all or nothing. It's either a full surrender to God or nothing. Continues to go that way for God's children too. When we hold on to the things of the world, it's like our eyes look in two different directions. You know what happens when you do that? You're going to run into something. You're going to fall. You're going to make a mess. I tell you, we need to do like it says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. It says we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We just need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When this world gets, as the song was sung last night, I really appreciate that song was sung before we got up to preach last night. It's turn your eyes upon Jesus, and all the world will just dim away. Your eyes and your focus and your heart's desire get to be focused on good things. Paul, writing to the church there in Colossians, he said, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. He said, you know, that's where our life is. It's hid in Christ. Our affections, our heart's desires, what we want. I tell you, we want revival. We want people to save. Let's set our affections upon that. Let's get our eyes focused on that. Let's get our desires lined up with God's desires. And what is God's desires? Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His desire today is to save lost sinners and to prosper people's lives in His Word and in His life. That's what His desire is for us. But the reason people are still lost, and I don't know of any other way to put it, in a way, they kind of want to be. They're not willing to fully surrender. Jesus spelled it out the best, and I'll just look to Him to give us an understanding heart. John, the 3rd chapter, he says in the 18th verse, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. He's here. His light is still shining through the gospel. It's shining through the reflective lights of His children. It's shining through each and every one of us that's here today that are the children of God, that are not hiding it under a bushel of sin or of flesh or whatever that you have to hide it with. You're not hiding the light, but you're letting it shine. He says light is in the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The reason if you have not been saved yet is because you are holding on to some form of darkness in this world. You have to completely relinquish all that you are holding on to and surrender fully to God. The rich young ruler, he said, I've done a lot of good things. And Jesus told him to keep the commandments. And he said he'd kept those commandments from his youth up. What lack I yet? He said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he said, well, I can't do that. He went away sorrowful that day because he loved darkness rather than light. So how can that be? He was holding on to his possessions. He held on to something that came between him and God. Did you know what that something was? It was his God. It was what he was worshiping more than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want you to get honest with God today. If you're lost and separated from God, and ask God, Lord, what is standing in my way? Is it worth dying and going to hell over? Is it worth holding on to in this life to live 70, 80, 90 years in this life, to live in this life and hold on to that, and then end up in eternity in hell where it really is dark in that place? Jesus said, there's outer darkness there. You know why that is? Because there is no light there. He's not there. The world talks about a God-forsaken place. The only God-forsaken place is hell. That's where He's not. The way you feel right now, the condemnation you feel in your heart, it's because the wrath of God is abiding on you. The reason you feel the way you do in darkness, it's because God is not there in your heart. But I tell you, when you ask Him to come into your heart, and when you are willing to let go of all that darkness and turn away from everything in this world, if that rich ruler would have just let go of everything, I don't even think he'd had to give a dime. But God was looking for the willingness of his heart. That's what he's looking for today. Are you willing? It might be your pride. It might be the fact that God is knocking on your heart to come and bow at one of these benches. Say, God wouldn't send me to hell over that. He doesn't send anyone to hell. They choose darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You may hate it when people come and talk to you about the Lord. You may despise these messages that are hurting you in your heart. And when Jesus came to the Apostle Paul, that wasn't the Apostle Paul yet, he said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He'd been pricking at his heart. And Paul hated anything. Saul hated anything that had to do with Jesus Christ and the message. But you know what happened? He saw the light. He saw the light. And you know what it brought? It brought understanding. Brought understanding to his life. He understood what he was. He said later on in his testimony, he said, I realized that I was the chiefest of sinners. The chiefest of sinners. You need to realize what you are today. That you're in darkness, and the only way you're going to get saved is to see the light. And you know what you need to do at this very moment? He says, for everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Come to the light. Step out into the light. Jesus, he's ready and willing to save you. If you'll just come to him just as you are, God's people, let's let our light shine that they might see Jesus, not us, but see Him in us. Let's let it shine as bright as we can. I know this may have been elementary today, but that's okay. It's the message that God laid on our heart today. If you're here today and you're lost and you need to come to the light, just come to Him. If you completely feel like you're in darkness, then come to Him. He will show you how to pray. He'll show you how to repent. He'll show you how to believe. He'll give you the ability to do all that, all because He's light. He'll show you what you need to do. Just come to Him just as you are. Go ahead, Brother Brad.
Won't you stand? We'll sing 57, Amazing Grace.